session at this time, and we will have a flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we please have a roll call?
Director Ozowski?
Here.
Director Moza?
Here.
Director Wright?
Here.
Vice President Baltimore?
Here.
President Buchholz?
Here.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker. Seems like we were just here. Actually, a week ago we were here, and we were talking about the Basin Management Plan, and I thought I'd kind of make some more comments about that and maybe raise some more questions. Marshall went into the process, and this differs from the processes in which we go through for like land use. We go through a CEQA process, and the public is able to participate, raise their questions, comments, and have responses from the lead agency. It doesn't sound like that's going to happen, and that's unfortunate because I think the public can help you shape the plan to be a better plan and maybe be more cost effective. I understand that both your finance committee and your utility advisory committee are looking at the plan. I'll be anxious to see their comments, but what do you do with the comments? The plan, I think it's page 300, kind of sums it all up in that you don't get to choose. The public in Los Osos doesn't get to choose the projects. They only get to choose through a vote, through a rate increase, whether or not they'll pay for the projects. We don't get to choose the projects. And I have some questions with regard to some of the details of the project, simple things like the the brine disposal. 3 5,000-gallon trucks to Oceano every day near Monarch Grove Elementary School. That's a CEQA issue. I think you've got some complications with that. Has the South County Sanitation District even chimed in on that? Are they willing to take our byproduct? And at what cost is that particular component of the plan? And how would we implement that? So there's so much more. There's so little time. But I guess I'm disappointed that we've come so far, so long, waiting for the plan. And then we're not really welcome to help you. And we want to help you. The public wants to help you. And maybe as it's implemented, you know, we'll be able to tweak and shape little things. But I would have preferred a back and forth similar to CEQA, where there's hearing processes and sort of conditions put on the plan, and that we could really hash it out. And I don't see what the rush is. Why do we have to have this stamped by the court by the end of the year? Something's missing in that. What's the answer to that? What is the rush? We've taken this long. What is the rush now?
Thank you.
Paul Malacant, resident of Los Osos. Thank you all for giving me this time. I want to let the community know through your wonderful auspices that the Los Osos Grassroots Democrats are, although a partisan organization, will be hosting a nonpartisan forum on the new Health Care Act and the responsibilities of individuals under that act, the opportunities for assistance under that act, and the consequences of not participating as required. We're going to be putting it on here. It's the fourth Margaret Mehring Forum. It'll be here in this community center Sunday, September 22nd, from 1 to 3:30. Our panelists will be Senator Bill Monning, who is an acknowledged expert on health care, State Senator Monning. Bruce Gibson, our district supervisor here, and of course the county will be deeply involved in implementing this program. And Joel Dieringer, an attorney and a specialist in health reform. Also, Joe Lorenzi, our library director, will be chiming in on how the library will be trying to help the community. So this is a provision. This is the health care exchanges, and it applies to those who are not otherwise covered. If you're on Medicare, you're taken care of. This doesn't apply to you. But if you're not yet on Medicare, or you don't qualify for Medicare, and you don't have some other way of getting health care, this will apply to you. It's really important for people to understand how this program works and how they can best make it work for themselves. It's free. It's purely informational. Please come join us. Again, 1 to 3:30 on Sunday, September 22nd, right here at the Community Center. Thank you all. And Mr. President, with your permission, I'd like to leave some of our flyers at the back table.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
To get in and out of Los Osos, one South Bay Boulevard and one Los Osos Valley Road. Also, our emergency medical, the ambulance that has transport people to the various hospitals in the community, is usually stationed in Morro Bay. Occasionally, sometimes it does have to come because they are busy from San Luis. If that bridge goes and that road goes, which is, I think the road would go and not the bridge, but that road would have to be repaired, and it may be some time before that road is repaired. We're not going to have a way to get out north. We're not going to be able to get mutual assistance in from the north, and we're not going to be able to get the quick response from medical services. So what I'm asking this board to do is look at the possibility, if that does occur, how we would be able to have the medical emergencies that we would need, any mutual fire protection from other communities that we may need. So we're not put at a point where we're at a disadvantage for these services. Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought that guy was going to speak, so, you know. Hi, I'm Lacey Cooper. I haven't been here for a while, but watch the basin management meeting, which was interesting. I'm here, and I think it's the appropriate body to talk to. I tried to visit my friend on 10th Street, and the sides of the road, you know, they already worked on 10th Street, and the sides of the road were all, they weren't, where I tried to park, it was all sandy, you know, and I noticed I was getting my car smog, so I was walking back and forth from my house on 10th Street, and further down there, you know, where they deliver the mail, there was this big ditch, you know, because it was all sandy, it wasn't compacted. And I don't know if you guys know about this. Are they going to finish it later, you know, because it's in their contract to restore it to what it was, you know, compact it, you know, whatever it was before. And there's some areas that aren't, you know, they're just loose sand, and they weren't loose sand before. And I was hoping that you guys could ask the county, because what if it rains, you know? And also because this one lady I heard got stuck in her driveway, and she had to get her car towed for like $100, and she was going to put a claim into the county. And because we haven't had like public meetings, people, there's a lot of rumors floating around, and And people don't know that they can put in claims if, you know, they get stuck. And there's my question. So if you guys know, I'd love to know if they're going to do that soon. And that's about it. It'd be nice if you could ask them to have a public meeting out here so people could get their concerns addressed. Because there are wild rumors, too. Maybe they're not wild, but they said they were using salt water to tamp down the dirt, you know? So it's kind of interesting, you know, what people are thinking. So thank you.
Richard Margetson. I want to talk for a minute about the committee structure for the CSD. I know the district is in flux now. I know you're pursuing a general manager. I know staff is tasked with a lot of extra work. And I know running the committee meetings is probably an extra burden. But with all that said, I want you to keep in mind that the committees have been very valuable to this community over the years. I'll just give you a couple of examples. The committees were part of the process that led to CAL FIRE ending up in this community and the second fire tax getting passed. Your committees also produced two or three, depending on how you want to look at it, water rate studies and increases, you know, that led to increases that you didn't have to pay a consultant for. Committees also, against staff's recommendation, pursued, but at the very least, because we're 4 months away from renominations and reapplications for the committees, I would hope at this point that every director would communicate with those members of the committees what the situation is right now, what the circumstances in, and ask them to hang in there with us, to hang in until we get a general manager, until we can get back on track with the committees. And I would hope that each of you would contact the members of the committees that you're involved with and personally ask them to remain, to consider reapplying next year. If not, you're losing a vast wealth of expertise that this district needs.
Thank you. Any more public comment? I just have one. Lacey, I just wanted to address one thing that you said. We have invited the county to come to this meeting, and they have refused. And they say they will only address LOCAC. They've refused to our face. Yes, more than once they've refused that. So we've asked several times. Okay, with that, I'd like to go on to our administrative and committee reports. And we, no fire? No Phil, no fire. Phil is fighting a fire. Therefore, Phil will not be fulfilling his duty as a firefighter here. Here. Now that I'm warmed up. Utilities Department report, please.
Good evening, President. I can't see you in that mic. Good evening, President Muthart and Vice President Baltimore, board, staff, and public. I'm Margaret Faulkner, and I'm reporting for the Utilities Department for the activities in July 2013. As far as water is concerned, the total production for July was 22.8 million gallons, which is a decrease from last year at the same time by about 11%. Total consumption was 24.1 million gallons, which is the larger area of our service area that was billed from June 11th through August 10th. and this generated approximately $147,247 in revenue. But both of these items decreased by 7.5% and 16.2% respectively. The production and runtime hours charts are provided in this report for the month of July, and crews replaced a hydrant at the corner of 9th Street and San Luis in addition to their regularly scheduled duties. As far as drainage is concerned, we've submitted guidance documents to the state through their portal for municipal separate storm sewer system, which they call the MS4 permit. We got it in before the deadline, so this is all I really have to report on utilities right now, and I'm available for questions. Oh, excuse me. We have Mission Country Disposal Extra Pickup Week in Los Osos, September 9th through 13th. There's a flyer out on the back table, and you can add 12 additional 32-gallon cans. Bags, bundles, and boxes can be put out at your normal trash collection day to be picked up free of charge.
Any questions from the board? I don't know if you, I assume because you didn't have an update, but I was just wondering on the denitrification, I can't remember where that.
We have the funding agreement.
We have the funding agreement, yeah. And we're in the, we're doing preliminary.
We're setting up a schedule the district engineer is going through. We've got a schedule. We'll probably be bringing it to the board at the October meeting to go out for bid and start the process.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, and do we have anybody for the LOCAC report? Looks like Mr. Malakant is doing it all.
Public member at finance.
Yes, you are.
So, there we go.
I appreciate that.
Great power. Mr. President, members of the board, thank you for your time. I have not received minutes of the LOCAC meeting, so I'm working from my recollection and a copy of the agenda. My report may be incomplete. I hope not. It was a relatively peaceful meeting, got done pretty early. The major item was a presentation by Elaine Guillot, the transportation planner at San Luis Obispo.
I agree with what Paul said, with what went on at the meeting. The other thing I think he didn't mention is that the new CHP division chief.
Yeah, that was
there.
Confusing.
Yeah, he was there. I'm not sure. He wasn't on the agenda, but he just came out and introduced himself, and they're ramping up. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. On citations. But it was a good presentation from him, but yeah, I agree with Paul on all the other items.
Great. Thank you.
Anything else?
That'll do it. Thank you. Thank you.
You all.
The Emergency Services Advisory Committee meeting.
Okay. Also got a couple items Phil wanted me to pass on since he's out of town on duty. We met on the 20th. And we had a light attendance also, various excused absences. I think we still have members, but there was a lot of stuff going on apparently, including baseball games in San Luis Obispo. Anyway, so we did have a resignation. Our alternate resigned due to family reasons. But we went over the minutes and on that, did not affirm them because we didn't have enough people there at the meeting. Reviewed the financials. We also discussed the mission and vision statements. We do have what we hope to be the final draft, and that was emailed out to all the members, and we'll discuss that at our next meeting and firm that up. And then I might defer on the habitat conservation plan to Marshall on what's going on in that. And when I get done here, and then on the fire engine update, it's almost ready for service, and we do have our engine 215 did sell, and it's we had it advertised for $79,500, and the bid was $72,000, so we're very pleased with that, and it's out of service now because of the commitment we got in the contract, and it's going to Kalamazoo, Michigan. The poor thing. And going from the beach to the snow. But it's they were very happy with it. They took it out and four-wheeled with it because it is a four-wheel drive. And so that's going to be leaving us shortly. And we do have on loan, Phil went out and contracted. We have Pismo Beach station or a truck on loan right now just to have a backup. I'm sorry, it's Avila Beach, one of the beach towns. Yeah, it's Avila Beach, and that's on loan right now until our truck actually gets in service. And it's going to be very shortly before it's in service. They're just detailing it out up in Paso at the Cal Fire Yard. He reported out on the monthly fire report, fairly standard, and did have some public comments. And in regards to, this kind of goes with what Lacey Cooper brought up, is that we do have a subcommittee of sorts, ad hoc committee, to talk to the county about the roads. And it's been difficult scheduling, particularly with Phil being out of town so much right now, attending these major fires. And so that's coming up. And we are addressing those issues. Captain Wilcox will be, he's going around and noting areas with photos. And it's all going to be presented to the county on that. Because we do have issues. Right now we have a 1 to 2 minute delay in response time. And the aggravating thing on this is that there's a 3 to 4 minute on-scene lag for our crew because the ambulances are having difficulty getting to the location because the crews on the ambulance, unlike our crews, rotate, and so they're not always familiar with Los Osos. And so our crew has to stay on scene longer until the ambulance shows up and transports. And that's also a health issue because 3 or 4 minutes to be on the road might mean a lot to the person. So that's some of the issues that we're going to be talking to the county about. And then also, I think what Frank was talking about as far as the bridge, I think we might include that on our next committee agenda. And I want to get a CAL FIRE evaluation on that and get some push behind that. Mm-hmm. And then the final thing is we have here a sign-up. They're trying to get together a CPR and AED class. And we need a certain number of people before we can schedule a class. We have 3 board members who have already signed up. We have 2 board members already certified, so they don't need to. So this is going to be, I think, Richard, you're going to have this at here at the South Bay Community Center office. And we need, I think, what, 20 people before we can have the class. So it's very worthwhile because we're going to have a AED here at the South Bay Community Center. And so I think it's very, very important to get people certified. And Marshall, if you can comment on the habitat.
He needs to agendize October 12th for the fire day there and the unveiling of our new truck.
Thank you. And just our next meeting is September 17th, and that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just got one quick. Yeah. It's more of a comment. On the minutes, since the minutes have been written, since the meeting took place, Director Wright and myself will not attend that meeting with the fire department and the county on the roads. It has to do with policy and staff. So just to clarify that.
Okay.
But the minutes are correct. This won't be attending.
Yeah. Okay. And that brings it to the finance. No, we're at the utilities advisory.
Okay. I'll take that. And I want to repeat that we did ask the county to come to this meeting to talk to people about the emergency services response times because it's an important issue. And John Waddell told me flat out, we are not speaking to Los Osos through the CSD. Even though it's a CSD issue, he said we will communicate with the CSD on a staff-to-staff basis with the emergency services to see if we can work out those issues. But if you want us to speak to the public, that's going to be through LOCAC or the Board of Supervisors. Okay, that was the word. In any event, disappointing. The Utility Advisory Committee met August 14th, and Let's see. Interim General Manager Faulkner reported that the intertie project is being scheduled for January 2014 once agreements have been reviewed and amended by legal counsel. She reported that the 8th Street Upper Aquifer project has been submitted to the county's Integrated Regional Water Management Program, and we've been asked to expand on the abstract due by September 6th, I guess tomorrow. The preliminary engineering has been authorized in order to increase the potential for grant funding by having the project shovel-ready when it's submitted to the IRWM in mid-2014. GM Faulkner reported that the Prop 84 nitrate removal project's preliminary engineering is a reimbursable expense. She'll be meeting with District Accountant Haber and District Engineer Miller to discuss implementing the funding for the project to comply with requirements of the grant. The estimated project completion date is January 2015. Let's see. We had a subcommittee for updating Title II, which is our general water, code? Yeah. And we have eliminated references to sewer functions in light of the fact that we are losing our sewer function, or we've lost our sewer function, and removal of the section on temporary water service, which had never, in fact, been implemented. We are seeking to adjust the time period for a leak adjustment credit from 12 months to 24 months. So if you've had one within right now, you can't apply for another leak adjustment credit if you've had one within the past 12 months, but we're trying to adjust that so you can only have one every 24 months. Presently, only property owners and property managers can submit an application for water service, not tenants. And so we've recommended that that be amended so that a tenant may apply for service, provided that within 14 days the application signed by the owner or property manager is submitted to the district. Let's see. We ask that the Financial Advisory Committee review the schedule of fees and provide input. The Emergency Water Shortage Subcommittee is going to continue to review the Emergency Water Shortage section, incorporating parts of the newly released draft basin management plan. There was discussion about water conservation, outdoor water conservation efforts, and we are talking about having an action plan by the end of the year, looking at a subcommittee to propose that. And then the committee will hear a progress report at its October meeting. Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at this here.
It's to identify the projects and protocols for implementation of the outdoor water conservation and stormwater retention.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And how long do you anticipate that? I think you said that, too.
Well, actually, it has a project report supposed to be delivered at the October meeting, recommendations at the November meeting, and present an item to the board at its December meeting. That's our schedule.
Okay. The 4 months. All right. Okay, so I will go ahead and appoint Ron Munns and Jason Zatt to a subcommittee to identify projects and protocols for the implementation of outdoor water conservation and stormwater retention.
Okay, with regard to the Title II Amendments Council, what would be the protocol for that?
We'd be amending the code if you bring back recommendations to the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, those would be reduced to potential amendment to the ordinance or a code. It's a two-meeting requirement.
So then we should bring that up to the next meeting to propose it and then vote on it the next meeting?
up to President Muthard as to when to agendize it, but that schedule would work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
At this point, I see no problem with next month's meeting when we schedule that.
And Interim General Manager Faulkner, is that schedule okay for you as you see it?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes, you may.
I just want to backtrack on something I said. I said that Habitat Conservation Plan would be going back to ESAC at our next meeting. I meant the October meeting. I didn't mean the meeting in September. So it's our next month's meeting is what I meant to say. So I didn't want to have any false expectations out there.
Okay.
So we'll be coming back at our October meeting.
Okay. All right. Then we'll go into the Finance Committee report. We had a rather short meeting with only one member attending as well. In that meeting, we looked at the minutes. We reviewed the board item regarding the warrant registers for the period of August, and we reviewed the board item regarding the final June 30th, 2013 financial statements, and we did empower Paul Malaconte to approve all of those himself. So there were no objections from the committee. We did have on the agenda to receive comments on the basin management plan for the Los Osos Community Services District response, and it was brought up in public comment that it was pointed out the poor performance of the conservation plan thus far, particularly the retrofit program that's going on with the in terms of the effectiveness of conservation, and there's a concern that will have an effect on the effectiveness of the plan because the numbers in that plan are still from the original Medalis report. So that was pointed out. Other than that, that was all we really have to report on. And that's it for that report. Any questions? Okay. At this, then we'll go on to any director's announcements of district and community interest reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars, and also including ad hoc committee meetings.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I have one.
Yes.
So on August 30th at 1:30 at the CSD offices, Director Wright and I met with Interim General Manager Faulkner and Accountant Haber, and we discussed the administration allocation procedures. Reviewed and commented on that type of thing. So any paper comes back to the department. So with that, in trying to put a handle on to make the efforts and the time more transparent, Accountant Haber came up with a method of allocating administration costs where first a budget is set for the next year, and then based on previous year's efforts and costs and expenditures for administration, allocate percentages based on that. So first the budget is set, and then a best guess going in the future, looking at what was done in the past, considering what's going to be done in the future, you know, a percentage is allocated to each fund, you know, the fire, the water, Bay Vista, and all that. And so that's the proposed method. And she called that Schedule 1, I believe. And so that was proposed. And with that, roughly it comes out, there were three subsections of that. One subsection was LAFCO, which was a formula, so there's really nothing there. The other two were salaries and fringes, unemployment verifications, CalPERS is now part questions on that, all sorts of other items she gave to us. So that was one budget item that she had, and another one was non-salary costs. So those were two separate subsections, and in each one of those, it was roughly 20% of the administration time the Cal Fire took on our own department. So get the whole budget, guess for the next year, allocate roughly 20% to Cal Fire. So that was her method of trying to document the time and effort spent. And previously, or what's currently in the budget, is the method put up by Mitch Cooney about, well, when he was interim general manager. that method is where fire is discharged a 5% flat fee. And we make things fit to it. So the budget for the other budget methods are for Bay Vista and water and drainage and Vista de Oro, they're budgeted, a percentage is just given to them just based on their income, and then fire is just a 5% flat fee and it goes forward. So that was the attempt. That is what we're using the old method right now, just in case, just to remind the board, we're using the 5% flat fee for fire. When you look at the difference in the two, using a method, the proposed method, where you budget first and then allocate based on last year's cost and try to take in what's going to happen next year, that came out to, oh, I got that number. This is going to need your help. Is it roughly 100 and where is it? 125,000. Okay, would be the charges to the fire account. We currently have allocated 107,000 with the 5% flat fee. So, what came out of all this was that I wrote this out. That it is the opinion, and I've discussed this with Director Wright, and please, you know, if I state this wrong, it's the opinion of the two directors, Baltimore and Wright, to look in a resolution supporting the proposed procedures for budget administration allocation Schedule 1, the one where you budget first, look at previous cost. But it is most prudent to have the facilities. They have the Financial Activities Committee look at this first and to consider that the administration costs for Cal Fire are not standalone, but everything passes through and there are significant costs. That's
at one level or another. And it's not standalone. And that was a revelation to me, and I think that's why we should recommend this go to the Finance Committee and take a look at both allocations and propose to have this for a mid-year budget adjustment change. I think we have to take, the board has to change the allocation by policy.
That's it.
You have some.
Just a question, as and I appreciate the work and I appreciate your notes. I'm just asking, as the chair of the Finance Committee right now, I think it should go back to the Finance Committee because we are looking at the mid-year adjustment, and it was our goal to have this in place for the mid-year adjustment. But what I'd like to ask my co-chair and the president of the board here, or my vice chair and president of the board, I think it would be helpful if one of them comes to the meeting to discuss it, because I don't think either you or I are adequately versed in it. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to go ahead and agendize it and have either Craig or Michael come in your place for the next meeting.
I think that would be helpful, yeah, because I think...
When is the next meeting?
The next...
I'm not available the 30th.
We have the mid-year, and it doesn't have to go next meeting. Mm-hmm. It sounds reasonable.
I think that would be a good approach.
I mean, we can work that out subsequently. All I'm suggesting is that one of you be at that meeting, whether we do it at the September 30th meeting or the following meeting, or if we have a special meeting. But I think it would be helpful if one of you two were at that meeting. And my own thought process is right now is we may do it in a special meeting rather than our regular meeting, but that's something that Leonard and I will have to work out. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we can... We'll have to just deal with the scheduling issue. We'll get something, but I think...
We can work that out. I just want to get concurrence that I could have one of those two come to
that's
the meeting.
That's fine.
No, I think that would be great. Okay. Okay, so that's how we'll approach that. We'll take this to the Finance Committee meeting. All right, thank you, gentlemen. Okay. Do we have any before I go to public comment on the items on the Administrative Committee reports and consent agenda, is there anybody going to have any item they'd like to pull? Nope. Okay, so then we will go ahead and do public comment. This is on the items for the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
Good afternoon, everybody, or good evening. We've had some really beautiful weather. I hope you all got a chance to enjoy it a little bit. Get out, move the old skeleton around a little bit, get the heart and lungs going. I just got back from 8 mile jog, and it was just a very scenic place here we live in. And I enjoyed that. Anyway, I wanted to make a comment regarding Utilities Committee, if I may. And that is to say that this past week, Ojai passed an ordinance to take Cal City's water over and make it a public facility. If our district would do that with Golden State Water as they were done with Ojai, we would have control of the basin. And it's quite easy to do. It was done in Felton, and Felton was the model that Ojai used, and they call their citizens group Ojai Flow. So they will now be making their water company a public company. That could make the CSD water company very strong. You would have control practically the whole basin, and you would be more efficient because your administration costs would be lowered, and you would have no profits to pay for, so you could lower the rates of the other part of the basin, and that would be a very popular thing to do. So I just point that out to you. Thank you for taking the time to listen.
Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I was looking for an update on the refi. I had remembered that September was when we were going to sell something, get some sort of report back. So I'll be looking forward to that. and that I did not attend the last LOCAC meeting. And he had, at the meeting prior to, we had just seen dewatering plans coming out of from the contractors, and in particular, we saw the RASIC, WA RASIC plans that included disposal to the bay. And I brought that up at the July meeting, and Mr. Gibson assured LOCAC and all the members of the public that the bay was the last resort. But the RASIC plan, option one, is disposal to the bay. And then this last meeting that he missed, he wasn't there to face the music, so to speak, when the reality is that they began discharging to the bay, and Mr. Gibson was nowhere to be heard from to explain that the last resort has become option one. So it's an observation. I wanted to share it with you, and we'll be talking a little bit more about those things later. Thanks.
Thank you.
President Moodhart, I just wanted to address a comment that Ms. Tacker made. She indicated that there was a $15,000 warrant for bond counsel.
Can we wait till we...
Sure.
Yes, go ahead, Lacey.
Alrighty. Hi, I just had some questions about what was brought up from the committee reports. First, I might have missed it, but when is the CPR class that you wanted people... I'll just list my questions. When, you know, the date, time of the CPR class. And the other one is... Director Leonard brought up about retrofits, and I had a question, and I think a lot of people in the community is like, when is the deadline for getting the rebates for the toilets, the front-loading washers, and everything else, and what are the amounts of those? Because I know people are looking at front-loading washers. I know a lot of people are looking at toilets, and but front-loading washers too. And then, yes, I was shocked, actually, when I heard that there was ambulance delays because of the road conditions. And, you know, I have personal experience with needing an ambulance, you know, ASAP in my family. And I'm also shocked. I didn't know, well, if it's a legal issue, but if the Cal Fire is providing paramedics, doesn't the county have to go to this board because you're in charge of emergency services? So I don't understand how they can go to LOCAC if this board is officially... You know, Cal Fires is the paramedics. I don't understand that. If maybe you could, you know, help me with that. That's just amazing. And I think that's all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson. Briefly, first comment deals with what David was talking about the leak adjustment. It was my understanding after discussion, after public comment, that the idea was going to be floated about putting that off until after the collection system was built, and the explanation of why and stuff. So I hope you'll bring that up and before you move forward with that, because that completely made sense. But I don't want to waste my time on that. I hope you remember that conversation. But for the public listening, this discussion, one meeting discussion about the administrative allocation, There was a subcommittee that was set up. Bob Siemenson, Lisa Gonzalez, myself, and Mike Wright, to have a thorough review. Not one meeting, a number of meetings, to bring in the past history, to bring in Phil from the fire station, to have all of those discussions with this committee. What committee wasn't mentioned? The committee that this all came out of. It's not going back to emergency services to have that same discussion. You're really going to go down this direction, gentlemen. You're really going to put the fire department into the focus of discussion in this community and this administrative draw allocation. You're really going to do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Questions? Now,
well, I just wanted to ask our general manager. It's my understanding that the $15,000 was allocated not to bond council, but to Standard & Poor's for rating an existing bond. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. So that had nothing to do with the new... bond refinancing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes.
In regards to the question about the CPR AED class, we need to have 20 people to make the class happen, and the goal is to have it within the next 6 weeks. So.
Okay. Having a certificate already for that, it's definitely worthwhile. With the AEDs, I know that it might seem like they could be daunting, having to perform that kind of operation on somebody. But when you take the class, you learn all about it. You learn it's not, you know, it's a doable thing, and how easy it is to save somebody's life using an AED. So it's really important. So please don't be apprehensive about that. So they're amazing pieces of equipment. And as far as the retrofits, does anybody know when that timeline is?
First round of funding is up December 31st, December at which 31st. Time they will adjust the rebates.
Okay. And... what else? That's all I've got right now. We got the. Do we have any? We don't have anything for the refi as far as when we're going to hear something. What's our next?
The refi obviously didn't occur during the time period in which it was originally conceived, and that was the date that you were referring to. The next go around where this can happen starts in January of 2014, and that's going to be very much interest rate dependent. And so we don't know particularly whether it will make any sense to go through it at that time from a monetary standpoint. And one other, in regards to the ISJ, the stipulated judgment provides that essentially the ISJ committee disappears after the time that the basin plan is finally approved by the court. And so there, at that point, the sole purpose of the ISJ essentially is to develop that basin plan.
Yeah.
Richard raised the question about the deferral of the leak adjustments. I know that that's not before us and it will be coming to us at a later date, but would you just like to clarify that?
Did you want to clarify that, Margaret? I think Richard was right.
Yeah, I remember him saying that. I'm sorry, I don't have the information right in front of me, but
okay.
Yeah, that's.
Well, I realize it's not before us today, but I just wanted to get it on record.
No problem. So,
that's
yeah.
Fine.
But yeah, Richard, thanks for bringing that up.
Can we hear what's happening at the well?
The South Bay well?
Yeah, the South Bay lower well, we have a contractor out there fishing. When we did a video of the well casing, they came upon some pipe that was standing down there. So we had to call somebody and ask them to come out and fish it up. So that's what they were doing there today. Okay. Yes.
That's also why the well has a high ferrous oxide rating right now.
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to move that we accept and file the administrator and committee reports and approve the consent agenda items.
Yes, I have said one more.
I'll one second more. That motion.
I just had one more comment. I just wanted to be known that the allocation, we're not done with that. I understand that Phil couldn't make it. It was a board discussion. So that is, that's the strong end of this. So the purpose of this discussion is, as I can see it here, is to determine, if we can. Personally, I've heard a lot of people telling me things here and there. I hear rumors, allegations. I don't know what's true, what's particularly not true. I know what I've seen myself in terms of dewatering. So I thought, and not just myself, but it was suggested by several people to have a discussion about the dewatering, because as purveyors, we're responsible for that particular precious resource that we have. So we want to protect it, and we want to be active in how it's managed. And so I want to open this discussion up as to the status of where we are, where we think dewatering is happening, and is it going to the bay? If we can get a feel for how much that is, how significant it is, and what type of response we can, as a water purveyor, prepare. So,
President, one thing that I've been curious about is I've heard different numbers tossed out for how much water is being pumped out into the bay, anywhere from, I guess I've heard, 8 to 16 million gallons a day on one end. And when I asked John Waddell what the actual number was, I didn't get a number. But the best information that I think I have is that the pump that's being used, it's a 6-inch line. The pump would generate 20 gallons a minute is my understanding. And that could be wrong, but that's my understanding. So if the one pipe that's being used has a 20 gallon a minute pump, then you're talking about 28,800 gallons a day, which would be the equivalent of about 500 household consumptions. That's my understanding. But I would certainly welcome any better information.
Well, I agree with Director Vogel as far as the numbers, because they have been all over. And I guess it has been confirmed there is only one, as far as I know, that's been told us, only one 6-inch pipe that's being pumped. And I believe by the photo that it's at the Solano drain down by the golf course. I think in this discussion, I think what needs to be said, too, is that in all the paperwork that's come before, is that going to the bay would be the last resort. And I think that's only if Midtown and Broderson, due to heavy rain conditions, couldn't handle any more water, then it would go to the bay. But because the contractor did not or has not completed the pipe up to Broderson, they've jumped over that and have started pumping into the bay. My position, I think that the contractor needs to be forced to do that now, and because it is a resource, and it's not a direct, it's not potable water per se, but it, by perking back into our system, it goes back into our basin ultimately for our use. And so I think that's where I'm coming from on the need for this letter.
Okay. Well, I thought we were going to get a chance. Well.
No, I'm just saying it's that this is, should be question and answers. Discussion should occur after public comment.
Yeah, but I kind of want...
But that's Brown Act requirement.
Since the last meeting, I've had a number of email exchanges with Pablo Ogren in regards to cooperating with the county in regards to the dewatering effort. The latest information I have from Mr. Ogren in regards to Director Wright's question is that it's probably 60 days away from being able to use Broderson for taking dewatering water.
Okay. Yeah, I understand, Marshall, and I just feel like I needed to set some kind of groundwork here and without just me babbling on. So
I appreciate that.
And 60 days, that's not a guarantee. And if the contractor were pushed, they could probably do it sooner. This is a precious commodity. This is you don't just push it out into the bay as the first choice. So, again, the intent all along was to have this discharge to land first.
Okay. All right.
No, I think the issue has always been, in my mind, it's been clear that the top priority was the discharge to land and that the discharge into the bay was the last resort, for lack of a better term. So I think that, you know, somewhere along the way here, the contractors lost their path, or maybe they never had a path. But I do think, I mean, my issue goes above and beyond this, but it's also the discharge of the water into the bay and the effects on the estuary, because we're not sure what the quality of that water being discharged is into the bay, although I'm sure it's the county's position that the water does meet the requirements of the discharge, but I'm not convinced, at least in my own mind, that the quality levels required for discharge are the levels that we need to maintain to keep the bay healthy. So above and beyond the water resource issue, I think we also have to look at the health of the, I mean, that's not, obviously we're not responsible for the health of the bay, but I think that's also an issue that's out there, is what this discharge does on the bay. So. But I think it's been clear all along that first priority was always discharge on land. So
I have a hard time understanding how, given that discharge on land was supposed to be first priority, that the scheduling of the pipes to Broderson didn't get done first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if I and this is, I mean, this will take, I'm going to take that as a question because I'm going to answer
okay.
it because I was given
okay.
this piece of paper because I asked
Thank
that
you,
question.
Marshall.
I asked that question myself. And this is the answer that the county has to that question. And I'll quote, "It should be noted that disposal to surface water is the only option in the contracts for the short-term Los Osos project. It is the only option discussed during project development, environmental review, and permitting for the county project. The county identified land disposal as an additional option at a later date for cost-effective disposal of the water." Now, this is from a letter dated by the county August 21st. So that's their answer to your question.
So in other words, county speaks with forked tongue.
I'm just reading from their letter.
Okay. Let's let the public have a chance to put their comments in here.
Thank you. My name is Al Beryl. First of all, I talked to the head of the project management team yesterday, Jim, and we had a conversation for about an hour. We were both gracious to each other, and I pointed to the calendar, and I said, how soon can you get this done? And he goes, 2 months, which is kind of what the county said. But they have over pretty close to $500 million worth of equipment on the ground out here, and if they wanted to get it done, they could get it done in a couple of weeks easily. That's the problem. And by the way, that collection pipeline, he told me, is all the way from the leach field down the Los Osos Valley Road over to Pine. So it's pretty close to being done right now. The other option, I just spoke with Michelle Hauser as well, was that they could, because they have the purple pipe to the golf course, they could be putting that on the golf course, and golf course wouldn't have to be pumping from the deep aquifer. Okay? So there are some other options beside the bay and beside up there. And there's plenty of little basins around that could be used in lieu of Broderson. But Broderson is one huge site. And if you remember, Fugro did the report for the county on the geohydrology. Fugro was off by 360% on the ability of this site out here to take 18 million gallons of water. It would only take 500,000 gallons of water, and then it was flooding. This is the same structure, soil structure, that's up on the hill. If you look at the cross-section, you'll see it's exactly the same. It's only a little, it comes together a little bit as it comes down the hill. That's only a 7% slope, okay? So what that means is it's possible that Broderson would fail and we wouldn't have a discharge for the whole project. So this is an excellent opportunity for the district to say, please go ahead and put that water up there and let's see if this thing will take it. Hopefully it will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before you start my time, Ann, I hear consensus, but I'm hopeful that we are going to get to a letter. And maybe we can revisit what should be in the letter after we talk about this or some other process. There's a lot to talk about because of the unknowns. I put down some thoughts. Go ahead and start my time if you must. I think you need to write a letter to the Regional Board and the California Coastal Commission, as well as the county. The Regional Board and the Coastal Commission have estuarine protection within their powers. We have little seeps all along the edge, a very different environmental impact than fresh water in three places concentrated for a long duration with higher volumes. So it's a very different scientific scenario that was not analyzed. We don't know what the real quality of the water is, and again, the prolonged time. We want to know more about what's happening at Sweet Springs. This dewatering is significant. It's a lot of water to take out of there. My comments earlier about the county's role, you guys should be up in arms. That letter, that response to the regional board is Pavo speak. We've heard it before. And I spoke to a regional board member today who said, who's Dave Flynn? All their communications have been with Pavo, with John, never with Dave Flynn. Dave Flynn is the signer on all the project documents. He is the project owner. And when I talked to him today and said, why isn't Broderson hooked up? He said, oh, well, they're out there working on Pine Street today. And I said, well, I didn't go to Pine today, and I didn't go to Pine yesterday, but I was there Tuesday. They weren't working on Pine. So they're not their construction schedule is in a position where they've put the regional board and the coastal commission, they've backed them into a corner to only have the bay as their option or maybe have to stop what they're doing and go another direction. What hasn't been done is this construction schedule clearly wasn't put together
properly, to put the priorities in place to get the disposals to land. And if you'll let me wrap
up.
Thank you. They have told the regional board, if you stop us, it will cost the project money. The other way of looking at that is, if you don't stop them, what it costs the environment, what it costs the basin, and how do you mitigate for the damage after it's already been done? So it's a pay now or pay later, and restructure that construction schedule to stop dumping in the bay.
Thank you.
Hello, Board. My name is Chuck Cicinia. I live down in the high groundwater area. I walk past all the pumps that are going. The big tank at 4th and Ramona gets water 24/7 since they started with the wells. Solano, it's going every time I walk by there. Also, before I forget, let me say thank you for the discussion first, because it helps us focus our comments. If we know that you're on top of something, we don't have to bring it up. So that's the right way to approach this. It just amazes me how much traction a story gets when a well runs dry versus when it's rendered inoperable due to salt water. North County is getting all the good press, but that's because it's private citizens against corporate interests, which is going on across the country. We're fighting for the soul of the country right now. Here, it's just the private citizens against the government. And that's not nearly as exciting, I guess, for some reason. But if you think you can trust this county government, Paavo Ogren, I'm trying to be nice, but he's one of the most hypocritical, two-sided, double-faced, and I'll stop there. You know what needs to be done. That is your resource. That is our resource. You know what needs to be done. Bad construction management is not a reason to waste this resource. They can retool that contract. They need to stop it. That letter was such an affront to the Water Board and the Coastal Commission, and those are the agencies you need to focus on. If you want to bother with a courtesy copy to the county, I wouldn't even waste a piece of paper on those people. This is incredible that the last option is the first thing done. If you read the dewatering plan the county put out from the beginning, we could see it coming. It was wishy-washy. It was just no specifics. We're going to leave it to the contractor is basically what the dewatering said. I've worked with contractors for 35 years in a public works agency. I know what happens when you leave it to the contractor. Most of our time is spent getting airtight language so that we don't have to leave it to the contractor. Please do the right thing.
Thank you.
Chuck's right. Papa's a hypocrite. It's whatever it takes at the moment to keep going. Whatever it takes. It's got to end at some point. And for them, like David said earlier, for them to refuse to come here and discuss any issues with this community, I guess if you don't have the ability to win the debate, you just eliminate. You eliminate the opportunity to have those discussions with the community. Bruce stood in this room 2 months ago and told LOCAC. I think David presented the CSD report. The bay would be the last option. Everything else would be utilized first. Everything else would be utilized first. The bay was the last option. Wow. 2 months. Let's move to option one, because we got to keep moving. Let's not do it right. My last comment is, I've heard the quality of this water that's going out of there, that's coming out and that they want to pump in. I thought we needed a wastewater project because the effluent coming from the septic tanks was so dangerous. That's the first water that hits the groundwater coming from the septic tanks. That's what they're pumping.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I didn't mention that on mic, but I'd like to do it now. My response to David's questions was from the August 21st letter signed by Mr. Flynn. They were not Mr. Ogren's comments. So
could you clarify?
Just for the
could you
record.
Clarify who Mr. Flynn is for people that don't know?
I will read his title off the paper letter here. Dave Flynn, Deputy Director of Public Works. So that is his August 21st letter. It was not. So anyways, just I wanted to clarify that because I did say it off mic, yeah. But I wanted to make sure it got on.
Okay, good. And that letter was from him to regional quality. Okay.
Okay, Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. Will that letter from Dave Flynn on August 21st be available to us, the public? Can we do a public records request and get that letter? Thanks. The other thing is on LOCAC, it's like, well, LOCAC meets in this room. Some of these people show up at LOCAC. I'm not sure what the fight is over the CSD or LOCAC having the meeting. What difference does it make? I mean, I don't get that.
Please, let the speaker,
anyway,
let the speaker
okay.
speak. Have respect.
Okay. Then the idea of putting water on the golf course, because it's somewhat in that area, I thought there was wastewater treated water that the golf course also used, so to make it potable enough to put it on the grass. From Vista de Oro, doesn't some of the water the golf course used come from there? Also, their leach field or something, there isn't really that option. Anyway, I'm hoping if you decide to write this letter, you will take the word demand out of there, as was put on the thing on the agenda. It sounds like that word wouldn't go over too well. And also, you guys are water purveyors, but there's two other water purveyors in this town. Are they writing similar letters? Does it make sense for you to go out on your own to not consult with the other water purveyors? I mean, you're in this ISJ all together. If a letter goes out, it seems like it really ought to come from you all. Then the only thing is, what numbers do you have to the amount going into the bay that's provable that your water supply is being diminished? The conservative estimate that I got from John Waddell is 300,000 gallons of water are going into the bay every day, and they have been doing this for many, many years. This isn't just brand new. And I'm sure the Water Board knows this number, so you need to make a case for yourselves that...
Well, I guess for me, what's missing in this discussion for myself and the public is the basic premise of, I would like to hear the board discuss this. Why is it better to discharge the water to the ground rather than the bay? And I think I would like that, just like groundwork discussion right there, because myself, I couldn't really give a cogent answer to my brother-in-law. And I know that a lot of people out there are at that same level as I am, that they don't know. People at home watching this don't know why is it better for the water to be going into the ground and not directly into the bay. So I would really like us to get back to that really basic thing rather than somewhat of a partisan discussion. You know, the facts. Why is it better? And then also, it's not 8 million. Ms. Tornowski said it's... No one ever said it was 8 million. And they said 8 million gallons is what the contractors are allowed each to just to dewater. Also, I think another thing that would be helpful is my understanding is an acre foot of water is like a football field of a foot down, a football field size, a foot. And it'd be nice to translate whatever gallons, if it's 500,000 or a million a day is being dewatered, how many acre feet is that? You know, so people get an idea and how, because usually you guys talk in acre feet. Let's see. I think that was, yeah, I just would like that basic, real basic discussion, even if it's brief. Thank you.
Any more public comment? Okay, I think everybody's had a chance. Bring it back to the to ourselves for a discussion here. Go ahead.
There we go. Just one of the comments that was made that to consider to toss around out there is the oversight on the schedule. You know, how did the oversight assure that the contractors were on schedule to have land discharge as opposed to bay discharge?
Mm-hmm. Well, with the direction of the construction, I don't see how it could be an oversight. Because if it was a priority, they'd have it done by now.
Well, yeah.
Or lack thereof oversight? Is that
well, the contractor submits a schedule to...
Are you talking about... I'm confused. Are you talking about contractor's oversight or just an oversight?
Oversight of the contractor.
Yeah. But you're not talking about supervision. You're just talking about a mistake.
Well,
you see, that word has two meanings.
Okay, I see what you're saying, yeah. Yeah, it means something to me in the business, yeah. So the contractor says, this is our schedule for putting in pipes. Who above the individual contractor says, oh, you need to put in these pipes earlier because this is what's important to this project.
So you're saying oversight as in supervision, not
yes.
as in
oh,
being overlooked. Okay,
right.
Thank you.
I would say the county.
HDR.
Well, through HDR, because that's who they've outsourced the construction management to, but HDR has instructions from the county. There just wasn't an open ticket to HDR.
Yeah. So, again, that letter from Dave Flynn clearly shows that everybody was aware of the intent of the project for the dewatering, and somehow everybody missed it. I mean, that's and so I don't know how we word that in the letter, or is it it's necessary?
I think there are two things that have been brought up that are important in terms of using the Broderson site as soon as we can. One is that we want to recharge the aquifer with this water. And Lindsay, I think this goes to your question. The reason we
Lacey.
The reason we want to in less than 60 days, and if we direct our letter to the county, I think it will get about as much attention as our invitations for them to speak here. So it has to be addressed to the regional water quality board. Can we demand them to stop the project? You know, I don't know if that's the most effective means to accomplish this, but I think what we could say is that we should ask the Regional Water Quality Board
to order the county to expedite finishing the connection to Broaderson, maybe give them a deadline like 30 days as opposed to 60 days. But then it brings up the question, how fast would the Water Quality Board be able to act on our letter?
That beyond our control. That shouldn't stop us from submitting the letter.
Well, I think also too that it's also in the bigger picture, it's going to show that we are paying attention, even though they won't come talk to us. You know, we are watching these things, and that. I think it was. I don't know if it was intentional oversight to, you know, save a few coin or whatever, but the permitting agency, which is the Water Board, needs to know this, and they need to slap the hand and get it going. That's how we say that is another issue.
Well, it's apparent that the Water Board knows about what they're doing. Okay, so, and now we know what they're doing because we finally dug up all the pieces and figured it out. We're not happy about it. The question is, what is the Water Board doing? What transparency can they implement that's going to monitor this or implement oversight? What is going on? I mean, that's one of the questions. And I don't want to make this letter into an inquiry. I want to make it into
bureaucracy like the county and the Water Board. You know, to them, 60 days is nothing, mm-hmm. and they just rather see it go away. But I think also the unintended consequence of the letter is that everybody in question needs to realize that these contracts have deadlines and processes that need to be followed, and hopefully there'll be closer attention paid to other deadlines.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to agree with what David said. I really think that in my mind there's three components to this letter if we're going to write a letter. First is that we have to indicate that the first priority needs to be discharge on land. I think we need to make it clear that that's been our understanding. The discharge on land is the first priority, and discharge in the bay is a last resort. The second point, this is where I agree with David. I think we do need to, and Michael, we do need to say that, you know, the board, this discharge needs to be done at Broaderson as soon as possible. And whether you want to argue, you know, whether it's 30 days that's not my point. My point is, we need to say it needs to be done at Broaderson as soon as possible. And I think the two reasons are the two that David stated and, you know, was stated by the public and we've talked about, quite frankly, before. One is to recharge the water into the groundwater basin. And secondly, it provides an opportunity to test the capacity of Broaderson. So from my perspective, I'd like to get those two things out there, that land is the first priority. And then Broaderson needs to be incorporated as soon as possible for the two reasons. It's a recharge, and we can start to see how Broaderson will perform. I mean, that's what I'd like to see in the letter. And I, you know, how it actually gets detailed out, but that's where I would be coming from.
Well, I agree with that. And I think as far as expediting this, too, like you do 60 days, that puts you on the edge of the rainy season. And we need to have some testing before the rains. Otherwise, we're not going to know until May. Mm-hmm. And again, that's another reason to, you know, expedite the letter.
Yeah, I would prefer stronger wording than as soon as possible, like dates. Since 60 days has already been put up, then, you know, a shorter time period, like 30 days. As soon as possible. That mm-hmm. just gives them an out. It wasn't possible because, you know, the moon turned blue and three chickens crossed the road. So who knows what excuse will come up.
But, you know, if we say 30 or as soon as possible.
For us to draft it as we sit here tonight mm-hmm. to approve it. So if you want to come up with the parameters of the correspondence and then appoint an ad hoc committee to draft the letter and have it ready for President Muthart's signature. I think that would be the best process.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are going to have a special meeting on the 16th. Not that I'm trying to put it off, but we will have a special meeting on the 16th for the general manager search. So
right.
That may be... You maybe want to form an ad hoc committee and to adopt it at that point. That's another option out there. So that's 10 days out, yeah. But it's still.
10 days is a long time.
We
have that possibility. Any other suggestions?
Well, I agree with Mike Seitz on the, I think an ad hoc committee to get this done is sooner than later, because mm-hmm. we're putting a time constraint in the letter, so we should be held to a time constraint also.
Okay.
If not sooner.
Yeah. I think that, I'm willing to help draft this letter, Director Baltimore has given a nod yes as well.
I saw that. You agreed.
And
you agreed.
We have the option to include something with our special meeting on the 16th. We're not comfortable with it. We don't feel it's strong enough. We don't feel it's,
Right. Well, I would suggest, especially if you're a part of this, that you might be able to get it done before the 16th. And I'm just thinking that with the 60-day estimate, we don't know how realistic that estimate is to get it done. Mm-hmm. But I think the sooner that you put pressure on it to get it done, the better.
I agree.
Well,
I agree.
I think I have a kind of a draft for the parameters that I'd like to see. I would start out by saying, given that the county and the Regional Water Quality Board has stated that land-based discharge is the first priority for dewatering, you don't have to number it. Given that the county will be using the Broderson site for recharge for the sewage treatment plant, and therefore the county needs to determine the capacity of the Broderson site for recharge, the Los Osos CSD hereby requests that the Regional Water Quality Board order the county to finish construction of a pipeline to Broderson immediately or cease and desist from discharge into the bay. Oh, excuse me, and. Right. Okay. Yeah, and.
Okay. I can get correspondence.
Yeah, I think, I you and I are on the same page with mm-hmm. the recharge at Broderson and the testing the functional ability of it. But
it needs a little tweaking,
right.
But.
No, but I go back to that first statement that you have. I don't believe that the county agrees that on-land discharge is the first priority because their letter.
No, they may not agree to that, but they have stated
Flynn,
that.
No, their letter from Flynn does not state that.
Oh, okay. That's, well, they've stated it publicly.
Well, yeah. I just think in your letter you need to clarify that because if there's a discrepancy in what their representations are, I'm not saying that that's a deal killer, but. I'm trying to make this as technically, it's probably the attorney in me, David. I'm trying to.
Yeah, and I think we should also let the county know that we are following up with the Water Quality Board on this issue to give them a heads up that we're not just letting this one slide.
Yeah, we'll copy them on the letter, obviously. And
but
I'm sure
we could let them know that a letter will be forthcoming, just give them a little bit more time to react.
Well, if they were here tonight, they would know.
Yeah. What's that?
If they were here tonight, they would know.
Yeah.
The other element in there that I'd like to throw in is having touch upon the accountability / oversight of this and noticing the putting, just stating that, okay, you know, that we would like to have more assurance, which isn't a strong enough word, that there is accountability. We need to get in, you know, we have to get feedback on this. We need to know that they're doing something. We want something tangible to know that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I see it. A little more extensive than Mr. Vogel's draft there, but I think that I think we want to make it really, really strong by just making it focused on that one point. And if we want to address the other things with the county, I think that's a separate letter, quite frankly. And I really think that you as president or Craig or whatever needs to try to get the county out here because, and I mean, I'm hearing from you guys that you've talked to them and they're not coming, but I think that they need the opportunity. Pavel was here for the Basin Management Plan presentation. I mean, he did leave after that, but he was here, so... I'm just saying that they come out here, so I don't see a reason why they wouldn't come out to us, so you know, this board. So anyway, but anyways, my comment is I'd like to see the letter to their regional board as focused as possible.
And the other thing I do want to, I mean, this, I think the elements that we're putting in here are going to be pretty straightforward in terms of what our concerns are, but we may want to have the Rob look at it too, just to make sure everything's technically okay. So run it by him. All right, that's good.
Okay.
I like it.
Send it to everybody by email.
So
assuming that Director Vogel is going to share his thoughts with the ad hoc committee, I think you can go ahead and appoint it, and you get his notes and your thoughts and go to it.
Okay.
So should the board, pardon me, does the board need to authorize the ad hoc committee to send the letter, or because don't we need to make a formal action authorizing sending of the letter, and that, or not? I'm just asking.
If you wish to make that motion, Mr. Olhilski, I think you should go do it.
Do we have to or not?
Yes.
He needs to appoint his committee first.
Okay, so I'm appointing ad hoc committee to draft the letter of myself and Director Baltimore. We will be receiving input from other directors, but not...
Then I would like to move based on the direction that you get from the rest of the board tonight that we authorize you as the president to sign the letter and send it out.
I'll second that.
Director Wilson?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President Muthart?
Yes.
Thank you.
Give him a second. He's writing fast.
I'm ready here. Okay. Given that the Regional Water Quality Control Board has stated that land-based discharge should be the first priority for dewatering, given that the county will be using the Broderson site for recharge from its sewage treatment plant and must be able to determine as soon as possible the capacity of the Broderson site for recharge, the Los Osos CSD hereby requests the Regional Water Quality Control Board to order the county to finish construction of its pipeline to the Broderson site and cease and desist from dewatering directly into the bay. Or is the cease and desist not helpful?
No, I think that I would, well, first of all, just this is a technical question. It's not a sewage plant. It's a wastewater wastewater project. I would, quite frankly, flip those two. I'd say stop the discharge immediately because I think that's the more important thing. There are other land disposal options other than Broderson. So I think they need to stop the discharge into the bay immediately and then Broderson as secondary to that. I'm not downgrading it, but
no,
I think you need
fine.
To flip those
no,
two
I
things.
No, I appreciate that.
We're still here. Would you like to add? Would you like to add? Because I think it's a valid. Well, no, we got to be sure. Because you know, just from my trying to learn how to surf, that during the seasonal rains, the bottom of the beach changes. You know. And so I think the impact in the fishery acts as a seasonal rainoff and could disrupt, you know, the natural habitat. Or, you know, right now they're going to see a stream coming in.
Extending it a little in my
Well, that's a little too specific.
No, that's why we're asking these things to make
exactly.
sure how what we shouldn't put in there. One question I have with the Broderson. With the Broderson site, is it just the pipeline, or is there part of the infrastructure also
okay,
that they're going
the
to
the infrastructure, too. Yeah,
the piping and infrastructure would be
infrastructure.
What needs to be completed.
It's not just the pipeline.
Right.
It's actually the infrastructure at Broderson, too.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be a short letter the way I, you know, drafted it, and it'll make its point. Okay.
All right. Very good.
I know we'll get a copy of this, but I'd like to get a copy of the Flynn letter.
You're not on.
Oh. I know we're going to get a copy of this new letter, but also a copy of the Dave Flynn letter.
Yeah. Okay.
Finished.
We are, so at this time we're going to move on to future agenda items. Does the board have any requests?
I'd like the president to invite Supervisor Gibson and Mr. Waddell to come to the CSD next time and give us an update.
Thank you.
I'd rather have Mr. Rogren than Mr. Waddell. I'm not sure.
Well, actually, I think I'd probably like to have Mr. Flynn out here along with somebody
Marshall,
in the power structure.
Marshall, do you think it would be helpful to also send this to the Coastal Commission?
If we're looking at short-term action, regional boards where we're going to get it. But who we copy it to, I don't. I mean, I.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Any other future agenda items at this time? Right now, our next regular, we have a closed session on the 16th. You mentioned that. We have our next regular scheduled meeting is on the October 3rd.
Mr. President, just to let you know, I will not be at that meeting. I'll be out of town.
Yeah. Okay. Right now it's the 10th.
It's the 10th?
I mean the 3rd.
Oh. See, I won't be here on
the 10th. I had a 10th schedule.
I won't be here on the 10th.
Okay. You're not here on the 10th? Okay.
I still won't be here on the 10th.
Enjoy.
Okay. You'll be in France. Is that where you'll be? Yeah.
Yes. Checking out other government organizations.
You'll be checking out the water impacts of vineyards, right? Is that it?
That's okay. Yes.
Okay. Closing board comments. Start at this end of the table. Did I really? I thought you weren't even here last time.
All right, you caught me on that one. I did leave the meeting early. I really have no comments other than the Mission Country disposal. I think the extra pickup week, which is next week, for those of you that live out here, this is a great opportunity to get rid of some of your junk. Put it out by the street, and it will be gone by the end of the day on your normal pickup day.
That's nice.
And I'd like to remember, put in your calendar October 12th, the firemen's at Vaughn's, the new fire truck unveiling to the public.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd just like to remind people that the community center office, we will have the sign-up for the CPR and AED.
Yes, you may.
And we'll add on.
It won't be actually be at, sorry, Richard Margaretson, it won't be at the office. We're going to put it on the round table outside the office so somebody can access at any time the community center is open, sign up then, because the office is only open from 12 to 4. But any time the building's open, that sign-up sheet will be there. Thank
Great.
You.
Okay. Anything?
No, thank you for coming to the people who are here, and thanks for following at home.
I have one other announcement. On this Sunday at Baywood Elementary School, the Rotary Club of Los Osos is putting on their 6th annual Grandparents' Day celebration. Old goats and little kids.
Next Monday. Here. 6 o'clock here.
We are adjourned.
Marshall, I wanted to tell you something.